The following is the recording of a conference call for Peter Majeski with iAdvise, scheduled for Wednesday, May 4th, 2011, at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. Good morning and welcome to Intergroup Financial Services First Quarter 2011 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions, and at that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Peter Majeski of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Jocelyn. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Intergroup Financial Services First Quarter 2011 Earnings Conference Call on this, the 4th of May, 2011. We are pleased to have with us from Intergroup, Mr. Jose Antonio Rosas, Intergroup's Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Gonzalo Basaldre, Chief Investment Officer from InterSeguro. They will be discussing Intergroup's results per the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the presentation or earnings release, please visit www.ifs.com.pe to download a copy, or call us in New York at 212-406-3694. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Jose Antonio Rosas, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Rosas, you may begin.
Thank you, Pete. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for participating in our call. We will start with a brief discussion of the highlights of Intergroup's performance. Intergroup reported 151.3 million soles in net earnings for the first quarter of 2011, a 47% increase quarter-on-quarter and a 9% increase year-on-year. When excluding non-recurring items, net earnings increased 25% quarter-on-quarter and 17% year-on-year. Earnings growth was driven mainly by an increase in financial income due to expanding loan volume at Interbank and higher investment income at InterSeguro. Intergroup's recurring return on equity was 28.9% in the first quarter of 2011, above the 23.9% reported in the fourth quarter of last year and the 27.6% reported in the first quarter of 2010. Now, looking at Interbank's performance, net earnings for Interbank increased 9.2% year-on-year, driven by sustained loan growth and stable provisions and administrative expenses. Net earnings decreased 8.9% quarter-on-quarter. When excluding non-recurring items, earnings rose 10% quarter-on-quarter, driven by loan growth and lower provisions and administrative expenses. Loans at Interbank continued growing 3% quarter-on-quarter and 24.5% year-on-year. However, recurring net interest margin decreased 30 basis points quarter-on-quarter, due mainly to a lower yield on the loan portfolio. Asset quality remained strong, leading the ratio of provision expense to average loans to fall from 3.7% in the fourth quarter of 2010 to 2.5% in the first quarter of 2011. InterSeguro's net earnings reached a record level of 37 million soles in the first quarter of 2011, doubling the previous quarter and previous year's earnings, due mainly to a significant increase in investment income. In InterSeguro, annuity sales more than tripled year-on-year, driven by InterSeguro's leading position in the expanding early retirement segment. Please turn to the following page for a brief overview of the net earnings of Intergroup and its two subsidiaries. There, we can see a summary of the quarterly earnings of Intergroup and its two subsidiaries. We can see that operating trends were strong, driving both companies to positive quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year performance. And that translates into very strong results for Intergroup as well. In the following pages, we will go through detailed discussions of each company's quarterly performance. Please turn to page 5 for a discussion of Intergroup's net earnings. As mentioned before, Intergroup's net earnings were 151.3 million euro soles in the first quarter of 2011. This is the second largest quarterly earnings that Intergroup has reported. Now, looking at our quarter-on-quarter performance, net earnings increased 46.8% quarter-on-quarter, driven by higher financial income and lower provision and administrative expenses. When one-time items are excluded, recurring net earnings increased 25.1% quarter-on-quarter. Financial income increased 5.5% due to a 2.1% growth in interest on loans at Interbank and a 33% increase in investment income at InterSeguro. provision expenses decreased 30% quarter-on-quarter, as stable asset quality led to lower provisioning requirements. Additionally, provisions had been unusually high in the fourth quarter of 2011 as a result of the reinstatement of pro-cyclical provisioning requirements. Administrative expenses decreased 10% quarter-on-quarter as a result of seasonal declines in marketing and consulting services at Interbank and in Salesforce-related expenses at Interseguro. Now, looking at our year-on-year performance, net earnings increased 9%, driven by increasing loan volume and fee income at Interbank and strong investment income at Interseguro. When one-time items recorded in the first quarter of 2010 are excluded, recurring net earnings increased 17% year-on-year. Gross financial margin grew 5.8% due to a 16% increase in financial income, partially offset by an increase of 50% in financial expenses. The increase in financial income was attributable to a 24% increase in average loan volume at Interbank and an 88% increase in investment income at Interseguro. Growth in financial expenses was due to volume expansion and increasing cost of funding. We will review the detail of this increase during the discussion of Interbank's performance. Administrative expenses grew 7.5%, mainly as a result of increasing sales and marketing activity in Interbank and Interseguro. Please turn to page 7 for a discussion of Interbank's performance. Interbank's net earnings were 126 million soles in the first quarter of 2011, an increase of 9.2% year-on-year and a decrease of 9% quarter-on-quarter. The year-on-year increase was due to growth in loan volume and fee income, while provisions and administrative expenses remained stable. The quarter-on-quarter decrease in net earnings was due to non-recurring investment gains totaling 29 million soles after tax reported in the fourth quarter of 2010. Excluding these gains, net earnings would have grown 10% quarter-on-quarter. Interbank's recurring return on equity was 31.5% in the first quarter of 2011, above the 28.5% reported in the fourth quarter and the 30.7% reported in the first quarter of 2010. In the following pages, we will discuss Interbank's performance in more detail. Please turn to page 8 to look at Interbank's loans. Performing loans grew 3% quarter-on-quarter and 24.5% year-on-year, with strong performances in the retail and commercial segments, both of which have grown significantly since the second quarter of 2010. Retail loans grew 3.7% quarter-on-quarter, driven mainly by increases of 7.6% in mortgages and 3.9% in credit cards. Interbank's mortgage loan portfolio has grown 39% year-on-year as a result of demand for new housing and successful commercial efforts at Interbank. Our market share in mortgages has grown by 1 percentage point in the last 12 months, from 10.8% to 11.8%. Commercial loans increased 2.4% quarter-on-quarter after having grown 7.5% in the previous quarter. Year-on-year growth in commercial loans was 28.5%. Please turn to page 9 for a discussion of our funding. Interbank financed its quarterly growth with an increase of 553 million soles in deposits, partially offset by a decrease of 277 million soles in bank loans. During the quarter, deposits were used to fund our growth and replace short-term trade-related lines of credit, which were subject to an increase in reserve requirements during the quarter. The bank's total funding base grew 22.1% year-on-year due to increases of 340% in bonds and 8.8% in deposits. The increase in bonds was a result of two international bond issues completed in 2010. $200 million in junior subordinated bonds with a coupon of 8.5% and $400 million in 10-year senior bonds with a coupon of 5.75%. Year-on-year deposit growth was driven by increases of 14.5% in retail deposits and 5.1% in commercial deposits. Now please turn to the following page for a discussion of our gross financial margin. Let's look first at our quarter-on-quarter performance. Gross financial margin fell 7.6% quarter-on-quarter as a result of a 5.4% decrease in financial income and an increase of 1.9% in financial expenses. Financial income declined as a result of one-time gains from the sale of investments recorded in the fourth quarter of 2010. Excluding non-recurrent factors, financial income would have grown 1.6% quarter-on-quarter. Interest on loans increased 2.1% due to a 5.1% growth in the average loan volume, partially offset by a decrease of 40 basis points in the average yield, from 14.6% in the fourth quarter to 14.2% in the first quarter of 2011. The decrease in yield was attributed to lower credit card rates and an increasing proportion of mortgage loans within the retail loan mix. Mortgage loans carry a much lower yield than consumer loans. Investment income decreased 57.5%, mainly due to 36.1 million soles in non-recurring pre-tax gains on the sale of investments recorded in the fourth quarter of 2010. Excluding this gain, investment income would have remained stable quarter-on-quarter. The return on interest earning assets was 10% in the third quarter of 2011, a 110 basis point decline from the fourth quarter, mainly as a result of lower investment gains. Financial expenses grew 1.9% quarter on quarter due to a 3.3% increase in interest on deposits, partially offset by a 5.4% decline in interest on bank loans. The increase in interest on deposits was due to a 4.1% growth in average volume with slightly decreasing costs. The decline in interest on bank loans was the result of a 9% reduction in the average volume due to the replacement of short-term lines of credit with lower-cost deposits. The bank's average cost of funds was 2.8% in the first quarter of 2011, a 10 basis point decline quarter-on-quarter as a result of a higher proportion of deposits in the funding mix. Now let's look at our year-on-year performance. Gross financial margin increased 2% year-on-year, driven by 10% growth in financial income, partially offset by a 41% increase in financial expense. Growth in financial income was driven by a 13% increase in interest on loans, partially offset by a 33% decline in investment income. The increase in interest on loans was due to a 24% growth in the average volume, with a decline of 130 basis points in the average yield, from 15.5% in the third quarter of 2010 to 14.2% in the third quarter of 2011. The decline in the average yield was due to lower commercial and credit card loan rates and the increase in the proportion of mortgages within the retail loan portfolio. The decline in commercial and credit card rates was due to stronger competitive pressure. The decline in investment income was due to 11.2 million soles in non-recurring gains from the sale of investments recorded in the first quarter of 2011. Excluding these gains, investment income would have grown 14.6% year-on-year. Financial expenses increased 41% year-on-year, mainly due to growth of 375% in interest on bonds, 26% in deposits, and 24% in bank loans. The increase in interest on bonds was a result of the two bond issues previously mentioned. The increase in interest on deposits was attributable to a 6.13% growth in the average volume and an increase of 20 basis points in the average cost. Interest on bank loans increased as a result of a 35% growth in the average volume, partially offset by a 40 basis point decline in the average cost. Growth in average volume is related to increasing volumes of trade finance loans to corporate clients. The average cost of funding increased 70 basis points year-on-year, mainly due to the bond issue. Please turn to the following page. Net interest margin fell 110 basis points from 8.4% in the fourth quarter of 2010 to 7.3% in the first quarter of 2011, mainly due to the non-recurring gains reported in the fourth quarter of 2010. Excluding non-recurrent factors, net interest margin would have decreased from 7.6% to 7.3% quarter-on-quarter. Net interest margin at Interbank has followed the same declining trend as the banking industry's average, but remains more than 100 basis points above the average of our peers. Please turn to the following page. Asset quality remains strong, with a ratio of past due loans and unchanged at 1.5%. The reserve coverage ratio also remains stable at 268%. Provision expenses decreased 30% quarter on quarter and remained stable year on year. In the fourth quarter of 2010, provision expenses were particularly high as a result of the activation of procyclical provision requirements, which had a non-recurring impact of 8 million soles in our provision expense. The annualized ratio of loan loss provisions to average loans decreased from 3.1% in the first quarter of 2010 and 3.7% in the fourth quarter of 2010 to 2.5% in the first quarter of 2011. Please turn to the following page. Fee income grew 19% year on year, driven by increasing credit card activity, mortgage disbursements, and ATM use. However, fee income declined 13% quarter on quarter, due mainly to seasonal factors. The fourth quarter is usually by far the highest quarter in terms of fee income generation, as you can see in the chart in page 13. Administrative expenses declined 8.5% quarter on quarter, also due to seasonal factors related mostly to marketing and sales expenses. Expenses increased 5.6% year on year at a more moderate pace of increase than revenue growth. As a result, the bank's efficiency ratio decreased slightly from 48.8% in the third quarter of 2010 to 48.3% in the fourth quarter of 2010. Please turn to page 14 for a discussion of our regulatory capital position. The ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets at Interbank was 14.1% in the fourth quarter of 2011, slightly below the 14.4% reported in the fourth quarter of 2010, but above the 12.8% reported 12 months ago. During the third quarter of 2011, regulatory capital remained stable, while risk-weighted assets increased 2% quarter on quarter. Tier 1 capital increased 7.1% quarter on quarter, due mainly to incorporation of 158 million soles in earnings related to 2010 as regulatory capital. The year-on-year increase in the capital ratio was a result of the capitalization of 2010 earnings and a $200 million Tier 1 bond issue completed in April of last year. This completes the discussion of Interbank's performance. Now, Gonzalo Azadre will discuss with you Interseguro's performance.
Thanks, José Antonio. Please turn to page 16 of the presentation. The table shows a summary of the Interseguro's P&L performance, where we can see a strong increase in premiums year over year and slight decrease quarter over quarter, driven mainly by annuity premiums. Technical margin loss is higher year over year in line with annuity premiums, since each time an annuity premium is sold, a reserve must be recognized in the financial statements according to Peruvian regulation. On the other hand, the quarter over quarter increase in technical margin loss is explained by higher claims and disability and survivor benefits. Administrative expenses decreased 23% quarter over quarter and grew 14% year over year, tied to annuity sales commissions. Investment income increased 33% quarter over quarter and 88% year over year. This strong growth is explained by higher realized gains on investments. As a result of the factors explained before, net income for first quarter 11 was a record of 37 million soles, an increase of 92% quarter over quarter and 103% year over year. Please turn to the next page of the presentation. Page 17 shows in detail the performance of Interseguro's premiums. The table shows in detail the performance of Interseguro's premiums. Premiums almost doubled year over year due to increasing sales across nearly every business line and decreased 19% quarter over quarter. The business line with higher growth year over year was annuities, as a result of a new early retirement law enacted later last year. Annuity premiums sold under this early retirement law represented 38% of total annuity sales. The quarter-over-quarter decrease is explained by a 21% market contraction due to a delay from the government in issuing bonos de reconocimiento. As of March 31, 2011, Interseguro is the leading annuity provider to the early retirement segment with a 25.1% market share. Finally, on page 18, there are some details on Interseguro's investment portfolio and investment income. Interseguro's investment income was 67.4 million soles in the first quarter of 2011, a 33% increase quarter over quarter and 88% year over year. The quarterly strong performance is explained by a 8.4 million soles one-time gain in the sale of shares and a 1.9 million soles gain from dividends received, as well as higher realized gains on fixed income and an increase in interest income and bonds on bonds, resulting from investment in higher yielding instruments. Interseguro's investment portfolio increased 8% quarter over quarter and 23% year over year, totaling 2,362 million soles. This increase is tied to growth in annuity sales as well as the price appreciation of Interseguro's overall portfolio.
This completes our quarterly discussion of results. Now we are open for the question and answer session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That's star one on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may press star two. Again, to ask a question, that is star one. Our first question will come from Alonzo Aramburu with BTG Pactual. Alonzo, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Jose Antonio, a couple of questions. The first one regarding activity, overall activity in Peru in April. I don't know if you've seen some of the numbers already. Just to get a sense if some of the political risk is affecting the business. And second, thinking about provisions going forward for the rest of the year, there was a big decline in provisions this quarter. What kind of level of provisioning should we expect for the rest of the year?
Good morning, Alonso. Regarding your first question, April has continued to be a very strong month for us. We still have not seen any significant decline in activity as a result of the political environment. We have to take into account that most of our disbursements are related to pipelines that were already in place before the political risk scenario started taking place. So we have not seen any, as a result of that, we have continued to see strong activity. We might see going forward some deceleration in medium-term loans related to, infrastructure investment or to high-income housing, but still we have not still seen any slowdown in our activity. And we are not expecting any significant slowdowns at the moment. In terms of provisions, we did have a very strong quarter with very, very good results. And some of the factors that lead to our low provisions are external and not related directly to the performance of our loan book. Those are the external alignment provisions, which require us to provision for our retail clients according to how they are classified in our financial institutions. So if a client is up to date with all their payments to Interbank, but is past due, say, on a credit card loan with another institution, then we must provision for that client. And those provisioning requirements were very low in the first quarter, and that's one of the reasons why we had this very low expense provision, provision expense. At the moment, we don't see any indication that will increase, but we do remain cautious and expect the provision expense to increase slightly during the rest of the year. We might expect this very low level to be not to be repeated in the following quarters.
Great. Thank you, Jose Antonio.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Alejandro Olea with Moneda.
Hi, everyone. How are you? I have a question regarding the risk side and the elections and all that. A large part of the portfolio of the bank and every bank in Peru is denominated in dollars. Do you have any estimation or what's your view regarding how much NPLs can increase if the sold the values, let's say for every 1% or for every 5% of the valuation, how much can be affected the health of the portfolio?
Good morning, Alejandro. Indeed, as you mentioned, a large part of our loan portfolio is in dollars. Now, we have to look at what parts of our portfolio are significantly in dollars. One is commercial loans, and in that case, our risk division makes an assessment of the currency risk that is taken by our clients. And in most cases, the currency risk that our clients take is matched because clients are exporters or real estate developers, and as a result have a significant portion of their revenues in dollars as well. So in those cases, we don't see any risk from a possible devaluation. Then the second large proportion of our loan book that is denominated in dollars is mortgage loans. There are about 60% of our loan book is in dollars at the moment, and we have run stress tests, and also we have gone through an experience of not significant, but a devaluation of 10% in the first quarter of 2009, and at that point we did not see any increase in default in mortgage loans at all. So at 1% or 5% devaluation would not have any impact on mortgage loans, and as mentioned, our commercial loans are mostly matched. And having said that, we also do not expect to see a significant devaluation as a result of the political risk at the moment, and that's because the central bank has been very strong in its reaction to any possible sell-off of dollars. Last week, we saw unprecedented activity by the central bank sending very strong signals to the market, and they have the tools and the willingness to prevent any significant devaluation.
Okay, just a follow-on. If you look at your U.S. dollar portfolio, how much of that is mortgages, how much is commercial loans, how's the breakdown of that?
Most of it is commercial loans. I'll say in our commercial loan book that accounts for 50% of our loans, about 80% of the loans are commercial. And then in our mortgage loan book that accounts for 30% of our total loan book, 60% of our loans are in dollars.
Okay. So basically you would say that a 10% devaluation will not affect materially the portfolio, the NPLs of the portfolio?
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
So.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. Again, that's *1 to ask a question. Our next question will come from Victor Schabel with Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. I have just a follow-up regarding margins going forward. You guys mentioned that competition has been increasing, funding costs has been also at higher levels since the last quarter. So what do you expect in terms of margins? Should we expect, even with the asset repricing, with higher presence of retail loans going forward, to have margins on even lower levels going forward? Thanks.
Good morning, Victor. No, we do not expect any further significant tightening in margins. As you have seen, funding costs have already stabilized. The two bond issues that we completed last year have been a significant factor in providing stability to our funding base. Plus, we still have the capacity to continue migrating from bank loans to deposits, so that's also a factor that will lead to a slight continuing decrease in the cost of funds. Regarding the pricing of loans, what we have seen in the commercial book is that the declining trend that we saw throughout all of last year has also stopped. Not because competition is less intense, but because banks are already translating to clients the increasing cost of funds that we saw throughout last year. So those two factors should definitely lead to our net interest margin to remain at around this level, 7.3%, or to even increase slightly towards the 7.5% that we guided for this year.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Speakers, I'm showing no further questions at this time. I will turn it back to Mr. Rosas for final remarks.
Just thank you to everyone for participating in the call, and we will be expecting you at our second quarter conference call in early August. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.